Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Fiscally responsible. Financial geniuses. Monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Hello, Gamecock fans. Today's Monday, March 30th, the year of our Lord, 2026. This is Coffee with J.C. Sherbert. I want to let you guys know, and gals, this is being pre-recorded. I had something come up for Monday morning, and also had some stuff I wanted to get off my chest right away because I got a little football intel for you. So at this point, when I'm recording this, I don't know what the outcome of the baseball series was. Hopefully, the Gamecocks can get it done later today. I do know the women's basketball team really enjoyed that game, 94-68 over Oklahoma. They will play the TCU Horned Frogs this evening. Tip-off is at 9 from Sacramento. Really, really enjoyed the story, too. Raven Johnson and Taniya Lassen, high school buddies, and Lassen played a heck of a game. And I guess this is around the time of the year I really start to kind of get into the women's basketball program. You know, I watch a lot of their games, but I'm a bandwagon fan, I think. I don't know. When you win all the time, it's like when the stakes get – you can ask North Carolina basketball fans who are going through a coaching search right now. They were the – it was out of the Final Four 9 years ago. That's sad to say. They were the most – and they do have a wine and cheese reputation, but they were the least excited to be there. Gonzaga was fired up. The Gamecocks were fired up. The Oregon Ducks were fired up. North Carolina was just like, and they ended up winning it. But anyway, so I guess that's kind of, I'm a wine and cheese Gamecock women's basketball fan, but really appreciate that team, and hopefully they get it done tonight against TCU. The Gamecocks this past weekend, you know, spring practice has rolled on. I don't want to call it a scrimmage, but it may have been a scrimmage, you know, working 11 on 11. They didn't announce that or anything. And you're limited to a certain number of scrimmages. So what coaches will do, sometimes they will work 11 on 11 and it's like a scrimmage, but it's not really so I don't want to get anybody in trouble or anything, but you know, did have some contacts that I got in touch with that were in and around the building in practice. And wanted to kind of go through a couple of points. Like I said, pre-recorded, wanted to get something out about this. And then I'll, you know, obviously be back regular time, taping it at the crack of dawn on Tuesday. But first and foremost, okay, so the defense is ahead of the offense, right? That's going to happen. And I always say, and I'm always happy about this, and it's proven true. Through the entire time I've been covering Carolina and digging into things like preseason scrimmages and spring scrimmages and practices and stuff. The defense is not, and it doesn't matter what scheme you run or anything like that, it usually means you're not going to have a good defense. So that would be a warning sign if the defense was not ahead. But I did hear that as the, you know, session went along, that the offense started responding. And that's good. I think with this attacking style of offense, that's something to kind of look at. And also you got to remember the defensive guys, it's just see ball, go ball. And then offense, they still, you know, at this point in practice, it's not a finished product. Now you worry if you get in a game like last year and they don't know where to go and they're feeling their way through. But, you know, folks, that's why you practice. So I always say that because people freak out. Oh, my God, defense is out of the – oh, my God, offense is going to be bad. And you don't know. They're just trying to determine who's going to play for them anyway. But what I did also hear was the tempo with which this offense operates is, I was told it was insane. Now, what does insane mean? It was insane in a positive way. I'll tell you that right now. But very, very fast. And you know, around here, it hadn't really been that fast in a while. So, gosh, when's the last time they tried to go really? Probably BMAX 2018 year they tried to line up again. It's not like they haven't gone fast at times. But this is a tempo-based offense. That's what Browse does. That's what he believes in. And so the tempo is there, too. And that's probably another reason why the defense was a little bit ahead and the offense could respond as the defense maybe wore down or whatever. But they get lined up pretty quick. One thing I heard about what my couple of folks saw is Lenore Sellers looks really good, throwing the ball, running the ball, operating the offense. He looks comfortable. You know, practice reports last year, he looked comfortable as well. It's different when you get into a game, and I'm not ignoring that. But based on kind of what they're asking him to do last year versus what Kendall Briles is going to ask him to do or what Kendall Briles wants him to do, I'll take my chances with the latter just based on what it is. And they're getting him out of the pocket from what I'm told. Rollouts, screens, you know, quick game. The ball gets out of his hands quickly. And I don't blame him because you never know with the offensive line in this league, you know, especially, you know, Carolina could be much improved on the offensive line and still need to get the ball out quick. I don't ever think that's a bad idea. I've seen very few offenses in the SEC that don't try to get the ball out of the quarterback's hands quickly and have a bunch of seven steps. Those are usually called failures. You know, I thought, you know, Billy Napier's offense just wanted to run it and then do some, you know, I thought that's why that maybe didn't work in the SEC a little bit, just kind of too much. You know, you're dependent with those systems on having superior Jimmys and Joes, which you're not going to these days. Not, I mean, nobody really does have that much of a talent advantage. You know, for a program like South Carolina, you can match up on the higher end, but for programs like LSU and Alabama and Georgia, you're not quite as dominant. So you got to have some coaching, so some creative coaching, creative, aggressive, and fun. That's what it looks like right now. You know, it looked pretty, Sellers looks pretty good out there. It's not to say the defense, when they worked 11 on 11, didn't come in and wreck stuff, because that certainly happened. Julian Walker, the freshman defensive end from Dutch Fork and Irmo, continues to have a fantastic spring practice, getting a ton of reps with everybody injured. 6'6", 250. Looks like a grown man out there. Looks older than he is. Hats off to Jamil Walker, his dad, because I can assure you, without confirming this and reporting it like a news story, I'm pretty sure his dad told him how to put on the bulk and add the strength. It's an advantage for Julian. And then, of course, Luke Day and you know, his staff, Chip Moore, they got those guys. They get the guys right. But I heard he's got a really quick first step, like very impressive. Man, guys, he may be better than I thought. He may be better than I thought, because I'll admit I did not have – I still don't have Dylan Stewart vibes, because the things Dylan does, that's like a once every – with the way he bends and his get-off and stuff, it's like a once every 3, 4, 5 years kind of guy. But I think Julian Walker could play. In fact, if you got the ITG Intel briefing on Sunday today, just sent it out. And if you go to InsideTheGamecocks.com and sign up for our newsletter, that's the type of stuff you will get. To get the actual briefing from today, you need to hit up our X account at Gamecock Show. It's on there, at my X account, at JC Sherbert. And it'll have a link. You can go read it for free. And then, or go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/InsideTheGamecocks. And there's a post there. Read it for free. And then hit the subscribe button in the upper left-hand corner to get that stuff in your inbox. But enjoyed putting that together. But I put it in my projected depth chart. Partial projected depth chart. Not can't do a 2 deep right now, folks. But I had him as a starter, or co-starter with Caleb Herring with Dylan, you know, because Dylan's out right now. If you wanted to do he and Herring, that's probably what I would go with. Maybe Anthony Addison, who's looking pretty good at edge. But I'm going to say this right now. Maybe it sounds bold. I would not be shocked at all if Julian Walker was a starting defensive end at South Carolina next year. Just wouldn't. I think Caleb Herring's awfully good. And, you know, I think that Dylan Stewart will be back and will be one of those guys. So the other two will have to battle it out. But it wouldn't surprise me if Julian ends up being the best choice over there. And that has nothing to do with Caleb Herring. He's had a heck of a – he's been everything they thought. So hold on to your hats, folks. There would be another outstanding in-state defensive lineman at South Carolina, Julian Walker. But, you know, I heard they had some trouble with him. Fred Johnson and Murphy and Uncle Ronquo. Or I was just told the linebackers, in case one of those guys was out. Because I didn't get, like, an injury report or anything. I mean, the linebackers are looking good. Interesting news at safety. Tristan Lewis. You know, here's a player, if you remember Tristan Lewis, how his recruitment went down. His quarterback at Greenwood. South Carolina lost to Tamarian Watkins, which killed me because I love Tamarian Watkins, still do as a player. But he took the deal at A&M and went to A&M, and then Carolina immediately offered Lewis. Now, they still tried to flip Watkins, but it just wasn't happening. And they moved fast on Lewis, and it was, you know, he's a 6 foot two and a half, 6'3" safety, just like they thought Watkins was. And I heard he looks like a monster out there, like flying. I mean, looks really, really good. And one of the things I put in the intel briefing today, and I'll just go ahead and talk to you about here, is that it looks like, based on early returns, you could project this or predict it, that all three defensive backs, Torian Gray signed in this class, look like they're going to hit. And I think at a minimum, all three will play on special teams. You know, Kazi Barnes, gosh, Vakari Swain was saying the other day that Barnes lifts more than he does. Swain's like in his, what, this would be his fourth year in college, and he's a strong guy. So Barnes has come in from Greensboro Grimsley. I think he'll make a push for the two deep at corner, you know, and then, you know, Jazavian Currents. And now you hear this about Tristan Lewis, got old Greenwood. I think South Carolina beat Mars Hill or somebody on him. Carson Newman, Lenore Ryan. Lenore Ryan, I think, was the school. Nobody else offered him, high school quarterback. But Greenwood, South Carolina, does what? Puts out ballers. So, and I'll admit, I didn't see that one coming. I thought, you know, I didn't think, well, there's another DQ Smith that could come in physically. DQ was a surprise at the time. But this guy looks good. So all three DBs that they brought in for the 2026 class look like they're going to hit. And you always want that. Now, can I guarantee you that in 2 years, all three will still be at Carolina and starting and thriving? No, that's not what I'm predicting. It's just hit or miss. You know, sometimes you got guys that are missing. Beamer mentioned this the other day. He's like, I don't really look at any of these guys and go, oh, I don't know about him, which does happen in recruiting a lot. But, you know, I was interested to hear that. And then I put on X2 on Saturday that in addition to Lewis, Mike Tyler, we've talked about Mike Tyler a ton, the tight end from Hammond that redshirted last year, kind of flipped him from LSU. Sean Elliott talked about him last week. He keeps making plays consistently in practice. And two of my contacts / sources that watched practice this week said the same thing. He's making plays, very athletic. That keeps coming back, athletic. You know, so in my projected two deep, I have him behind Brady Hunt, right there. But Mike Tyler is a player to look out for. You know, we forget sometimes about the guys that either redshirt or don't play a lot. But Mike Tyler from Hammond looks like he's ready to roll. And the third one was Isaiah Augusta. Remember him? He came in last summer from Colorado and was the starter at Colorado. Had a good fall camp and ended up, I don't know if he got hurt or they just shut him down. But he redshirted, and Alex mentioned this, and some other folks mentioned this. Looks great physically, like the redshirt did him good. He's been working out and all that. So I heard on yesterday, Saturday, that Augustov, or not yesterday, you're getting this Monday, 2 days ago. Augustov, Fuller, Clark, top three backs. What does that mean for Jawarn Howell? I don't know. This was the eyes of an observer. I'm not sure how the, I mean, it could be that they're all even and they split reps, and then Howell's reps didn't go well because somebody missed a block, whatever. But I also heard from somebody that observed practice last week, Fuller and Clark, you know, and they didn't think it was close with those. So interesting times at running back. I do know enough to know, don't be surprised if Augustov gets in the mix just because he's put in the work, he's bigger, he's faster, all that good stuff. But also Clark and Fuller look legit. And I'll check on Howell. I'd like to know more there. You guys know I'm a fan of his, but maybe I'm just wrong. It's possible, very possible with that. But I heard Fuller, speaking of put in the work, has tree trunk looking legs now. And his lower body's always been pretty powerful, but he's put some time in there. I heard all the running backs hit the hole pretty hard. You know, they're all kind of big and physical and running hard and all that. And, you know, one of the things about this offense, too, you have to keep in mind is with the run game and G.A. Mangus. By the way, there's a two-part interview on our YouTube page with Coach Mangus that you need to check out. That guy, G.A. always gives good interviews. He did a really dove into some good things. And he said one of the things he likes about Kendall Brown's offense is that also you're not just out there running inside zone. You know, there is some power run element to it. That's what I like about it as it relates to the SEC. I think in the SEC, it doesn't really matter how you do it, but sometimes you got to line up and run the football. And, you know, Tennessee's got a lot of elements of this offense within their offense. It's not totally identical, but it's pretty close. Josh Heupel kind of got it from Jeff Lebby when they were at UCF together. And then Heupel has his own kind of passing stuff. But anyway, there's a lot to it. But you know, Tennessee went to the playoff 2024. We can debate the schedule, obviously. I've got some opinions about that. But Nico wasn't this great passer, you know, and they weren't super duper califragilistically awesome at receiver either. But they had two good backs and a good offensive line, and they ran it on people. They ended up ran tempo and ran it. Baylor used to do the Baylor. I'll tell the story all the time about what they did in North Carolina that night or the day in the what's now the Pop-Tarts Bowl. You know, they didn't even have a quarterback. They had a receiver playing quarterback and a walk-on. And they lined up and ran it all over North Carolina. So that's kind of the secret sauce. And I think in the SEC, unless you're Mike Leach, and Leach didn't always score a bunch of points now. You know, unless you're Mike Leach, you're going to have to run it. Everybody from all the pass-happy coaches in the SEC believe that you have to run it. Lane Kiffin, very, very good at calling the pass game. Ole Miss ran the football, man. So you got to do it. I don't care how you do it. You can do it in a creative, aggressive, and fun manner that's kind of unorthodox, but you got to be able to do it. So that's another thing I like about it. Interior of the offensive line, Carter Miller looks really good. You heard what John Strickland had to say about him. He looks like a tree trunk. 6'1", 6'1 and a half, but built like just a plug. I like that, but more importantly, I like what I've heard that he's an intelligent individual football-wise, and you've got to get lined up in this system, and the center's got to do it. And so that makes me feel good about that position at center after what happened last year especially. I will say this. I think the offensive line's a work in progress. It always is early on in practice. I do think that it would be very beneficial if they got Jacarius Peake back. That's because Jacarius Peake's pretty good, and I think that would allow Shedd Surratt to slide back to right tackle, where I think Shedd could play anywhere, right? I think right tackle is probably, if you're going to play him at tackles, where he's best suited. And that kind of strengthens your line. And they've kind of, you know, you got Dane Arnett playing out there now. I like Dane, you know, Ferris State transfer at right tackle, mean guy. I like that. Midwest kid, fifth year guy. And hey, maybe he is ideal out there. I'm not sure, but the tackles have kind of switched around. Seth Smith, so they've kind of started letting Shedd get more reps at left. Seth Smith's still at left, and then you got Arnett sliding into the quote-unquote first group. I think getting Peake back, obviously, he's the left. And then you can do that. Now, the interior's been Purvis left guard, Miller center, Poku at right guard. And then Nolan Hay, the back, is the backup center. Now, the other guards and other tackles, I heard depth. They need to really continue to develop depth behind the first group. And that's par for the course. If that is the first, if nobody beats anybody out, just because, you know, you're kind of working with the first group and trying to get those guys together, but you got a lot of new players. It's hard to get everybody. Excuse me. Goodness. Something caught my throat there. All right. It's hard to get everybody in sync, right? Across the board when you got all these new players. It's a new system. You're in a new school. It's your first kind of, you're working towards 11-on-11 sessions. So I wouldn't read too much into it. Don't panic about the O-line. But I do think that's going to be a spot that, you know, is a work in progress for a while. You know, if you hear anything outside of practice, you're probably going to hear that. Now, the defensive line, I mentioned Walker, but the interior, Brownlow Dindy, we talked about the other day, and Tomiwa Durajaye, I went ahead and put him in my projected depth chart as a starter. That's not to say Kelby Collins, Troy Pikes couldn't start, but they're going to rotate. You know, you got Jordan Thomas there. You got Aiden Harrison, Noah Clark. You've got Christian Ingram and Caleb Williams when he gets healthy. So I think Travion Robertson is going to be able to get back to rotating five or six, which is what they did in 2024. Is there going to be anybody as good as TJ Sanders? Hopefully. You know, maybe somebody as good as TJ and Taka in there. You know, it's kind of one of those things. You know, Brownlow Dindy, Strick saw him, really liked what he was doing the other day, former five-star. But the D-tackles, especially Tomiwa, is what stood out to some folks that I spoke with as well. So, yeah, tight ends are making plays within the scheme of the offense too, from what I was told. And so that's that. So there's an answer. You know, you're always kind of looking for answers. How is Kendall Browse planning on using the tight ends in this system? Well, they're going to use a lot of them. And he's done it different ways. You know, Baylor didn't have very many tight ends because they were in spread, so they kind of used different guys. And, you know, at Arkansas, they had Trey Knox and some other good tight ends, so they used them. So I believe in this system, you'll see Brady Hunt, Tyler, Maurice Brown, you know, all those cats out there catching passes. And who knows, maybe they'll find a place for Caden Ramsey this year too. I'd be excited about that, right? You know, Landon Duckworth, great athlete. It's looking good as far as athleticism and things like that. Cutter Woods is taking a step forward. I said last week, I feel much better about Cutter Woods being the backup this year than the backup plan last year. So, and unfortunately, Lenore Sellers has not, you know, there's been both times he's been the starter, there's been times he's had to come out of the game, which happens when you've got blocking issues and a running quarterback. That'll happen. So I feel like that spot solidified. Also, don't know that it would be crazy that if Landon Duckworth proves to be this gigantic plus athlete that can make things happen in year one, run game or whatever, you know, Browse will put him on the field. Look at the history. They try not to waste things, which is good. So we'll see what happens there. So back to Browse and the fit. Oh, Jaden Sellers. A couple of times I've heard best receiver at practice, for whatever that's worth. Not that, don't start thinking Harbor's struggling or the other guys aren't good, but Jaden looks like he's taking a next step. I also think, you know, as a slot receiver in this system, it's going to look different than it did last year, where I mean, kind of wondered sometimes if they even wanted to use the slot receiver. So, and I think in this offense too, Jade Pupp's going to be a good player. You know, you got a lot of players, a lot of good players on this team. You know, a lot of kind of freaky guys too. But I think Pup is a playmaker to kind of look out for. So what does it all mean? At the end of the day, it just means they've got some things to sort out to decide who's going to be playing for the Gamecocks. I think, you know, offensive line remains a work in progress. Separation at running back as far as which one of those, which handful of those guys is going to go. Who's going to come out of the dogfight in the receiver room? Right now, you know, I think Tuggle and Jaden and Donovan Murph, and that makes Nick Harbor, of course, is. But there's a lot of other options. These guys are going to – I mean, that receiver room, man, it's a battle because they're all pretty – and Jaden Gibson's kind of limited, right? Yeah, I think they have to get – you got to get Dylan Stewart back. He's expected back. You got to get Jacarius Peake back. And you know – with those two, sometimes you'll have a starter that's hurt. And you're like, well, you got this depth. And I do believe the Gamecocks have depth behind those players. But you're not just talking about, oh, that's our starter and we lost him. You know, like in 2023, you know, you didn't have a lot of depth, but, you know, you lost Jalen Nichols. Okay, good player. But, you know, at the end of the day, if your program's healthy and you've recruited well and you don't have massive amounts of injuries, you should probably be able to replace him, right, at most spots around the country. You can't replace Peak and Stewart. They don't. There's very few guys that are like them. And so if you're going to win, it's not to say you're done. And I think they're both – I mean, they'll both be back. You just let's bear with me here. It's not that you can't win any games, but your chances of winning games are going to go up with those guys on the field because they're just elite. So Carolina's got to get those guys back. They got to get the rest of their edge room back, although it's almost worked in a crazy beneficial way because Julian Walker's gotten all these reps, and so has Anthony Addison, who I've heard good things about. And then, you know, you got to keep working it. You got to work kicker too. Nobody's separated with that job. You guys know me if you've listened to me. I wait till 10 days before the season and freak out about special teams. And, you know, hopefully, again, my freak out will be unwarranted. Shout out to Latte Lance. And who knows, maybe they will let the leg of destiny, Mason Love, kick. But Mason looks good. He's one of the best punters in the country. And I think that with some of these – young athletes, Tristan Lewis is a guy I mentioned. I think they could be really good special teams wise. And, you know, you have guys like David Busey and Nick Harbor and Maurice Brown, who are like special team stalwarts coming back. You know, we don't ever talk about who's coming back that's good on teams, unless it's kicker or returner. But these other guys that like to go in and do things like block punts and block and, you know, that are the gunners and things like that. Yeah, those are important too. They make big plays. And so Carolina does have some significant returners in the other parts of special teams that you may not talk about. Plus, you got some young linebackers that can run that probably aren't going to get a lot of playing time on defense as long as everybody stays healthy. Got a lot of young defensive backs. You got six deep at running back. Running backs are great on special teams and receivers. You know, I think Matthew Smiley is going to have a pretty good selection of folks to work with. And then Beamer said the other day that, you know, he was going through asking because he doesn't quite know who everybody is yet because he's so new. And he said just about all of them were true freshmen. So that's encouraging about that third phase of the game. All right, Inside the Gamecocks, the morning show, and the show's coming up later today. Again, I'm pre-recording, so I don't know who all's on. The late-night Gamecock show last night, SEC Sunday night last night, those podcasts will be up soon. Again, newsletter, go to InsideTheGamecocks.com to get that, and go to our Facebook, Facebook.com/InsideTheGamecocks, if you want to read the complete, I call it the intel briefing, from South Carolina football and all that good stuff. All right, folks, hope you have a wonderful Monday. Hope you're not blue today. again, I'm living in bliss because I have no idea if the baseball team won or not as of right now, at the time I'm recording this. Hopefully they stole one, though. And then, you know, of course, oh, Gamecock women's basketball tonight at 9. Another Final Four on the line against Jeremiah. Everybody keeps saying Jeremiah Donati's old school. It is. Kendall Briles' old school, too. That, although, as a Baylor guy, I'm not sure that he misses TCU. You know, probably misses the people, but I don't know that he's a fan. So, but the Horned Frogs and the Gamecocks get after it tonight at 9 on ESPN in the Elite Eight for Dawn Staley and her group. All right, this has been Coffee with JC Sherbert. I'm out. Holla.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Looking for a fun night out? K1 Speed puts you behind the wheel for an adrenaline-filled time you and your friends will never forget. Off the track, the fun keeps rolling with arcade games, great food, and drinks. They even have private party rooms for your birthday parties and corporate outings. Race hard, laugh harder, and claim your spot on the podium. K1 Speed. More than racing, it's an experience.